Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Owls 24/7 podcast. My name is Kevin Fielder. I'm the site publisher for Owls 24/7. Today's date is Tuesday, September 20th, 2022. And of course, I would have liked to be coming to you with a brighter mood. FAU had a game against UCF, one that was winnable at times. And it felt like FAU had a big possibility, I guess is the word, to win that game. And they squandered chances in the second half, and they weren't able to get anything going in the second half. They had 0 yards of total offense in the third quarter of that game. And what looked like a close game ends up being a UCF rout on paper. 40-14, the final. FAU fall to 2-2 on the regular season. 1-0 in conference, though, and that's something we're going to talk about later on in this episode. A very important point is that they're 1-0 in conference, the win against Charlotte to open up the season in week zero. But I do want to break down that UCF game just a little bit. And I also want to talk about some overarching storylines that I think we've sort of seen to develop through the first 4 games of the season. One thing that I like to do when looking at a college football season, and the NFL is very similar, is I like to break it up into quarters or thirds. In this case, we're doing thirds, 12-game regular season. You've played 4 games. So you have another 2/3, I guess, 2 acts before the end of the year where you could really sort of understand where your team is. Normally I would have been doing this as quarter, so it would have been last week, but I think I want to wait until after the UCF week, because then that's 3 FBS opponents as opposed to just 2, just a bigger sample size and a large variety of opponents. I think Ohio has looked good at points this year against some Power 5 competition. Charlotte has obviously been one of the worst teams in college football this year, and they've lost to William and Mary, and they lost to FAU. They got their first win last week, though, so congratulations to Charlotte in that case. And then UCF, you know, an opponent that throughout the week we had talked about, or at least I had talked about, that in a lot of ways, UCF is what FAU wants to be in the future. They want to be in the same spot that UCF is in now, sorry, where they're moving to the Big 12. They're going to be in the Big 12 next year, and they're going to be playing tougher competition, and FAU's taking their spot in the American. So when you consider all of that, it sort of feels like that's where FAU wants to be. They're not there yet, but it feels like that's where they want to be. So this was a really good measuring stick, because I thought that this was one of the weaker UCF teams from years past. You know, obviously they had made it to New Year's Six Bowls, and they had had guys drafted in the NFL. And this UCF roster has some guys who will definitely be drafted into the NFL at some point, whenever they decide to declare. But I think the important thing was that this was sort of their best chance to beat UCF. And I felt that this was their best chance to get a marquee win under their belt. When you look at their schedule this year, they have UCF, they have Purdue, they have UAB at the end of the year. UAB is a good football team, but this was really their best chance, because I think when you look at next week's game against Purdue, Saturday, September 24th, 7:30 kickoff, this game felt like it was the game, didn't it? This game felt like it was the game, and it had all the makings early on, because FAU started off hot. They scored a touchdown early. They held a lead for a lot of the first half, and they didn't even look that good particularly. I remember sitting in the press box going, this is not the best FAU we've seen so far, especially in the first half of a game. And I remember sitting there and going, if they just turn it and put it all around, or put it all together in the second half, they can blow UCF out of the water. They come out firing, if they get it stopped, if they get a turnover, score on the turnover, just anything that goes right for them will be very important as we look towards the end of that game. But the completely different situation happened in the second half. It was not a situation where FAU was dominating. It was actually the complete opposite, where UCF dominated. UCF got all these advantages and all these possibilities to score, and they didn't even look that good in the second half. They had some moments. John Reese Plumlee really impressed me, and I wrote about it for Underdog Dynasty. I do some work for the American Athletic Conference for Underdog Dynasty, and I wrote in my winners and losers piece that one of the winners was John Reese Plumlee, because I thought he looked really good, particularly throwing the football. And that was something that I'd mentioned throughout the week, is that, you know, if you can stop him from throwing the football at a consistent rate, you can potentially win this game. But I want to talk about the game from a wider lens. I don't want to look at it as just one game. I think a lot of people get caught up in looking at it as just one game. It's one game in a season. It's one game. You know, if you lose that game, that sucks. But I think that there are storylines to take from the game. I think there are things that you can look at from the game as potential building blocks and things that you just need to keep an eye on throughout the rest of the season. And so that's what we're going to really do here. Is this is not going to be as much a UCF breakdown and, you know, what went wrong against UCF in specific, but particularly where I'm concerned looking back at the UCF game, because there are some points where I left a little bit more concerned than I did going into the game. And I thought that in those first three games for FAU, a win against Charlotte 43-13, a 42-9 win against Southeastern Louisiana, and a 41-38 loss against Ohio, I thought this is going to be a really good team. This is a team that can put together some really good performances. This is a team that I felt could beat anyone on their schedule, including Purdue, including UCF, if they just found ways to put it together. So I want to break down this UCF game in particular from that wider lens, because FAU still have 8 games remaining in the season. They have 7 conference games. They restart conference play October 1st against North Texas, and those are the games that really matter. We talked about the UCF game as a marquee win for the program and how cool it would have been to do it and how it could have potentially built hype in the program. But when you look at the larger scale picture of where you FAU's want to have been, Willie Taggart has talked about this a lot throughout his time at FAU, even going back to his first season, the COVID year, is they want to be championship. They want to be a championship team. They want to be a team that wins the conference championship. And so when you look at the conference championship, the only way you can win the conference championship is by winning conference games. The non-conference games are fun. They can add hype to a program. They can give you momentum. They can do a lot of different things, but they don't necessarily kill a season. A couple conference losses does kill a season, though. And for FAU, they have this stretch of conference games. I want to point to this stretch in particular because I think it's an important stretch. 4-game stretch from October 29th through November 26th, their last game of the season, where they'll play against UAB, they'll play at Florida International, at Middle Tennessee, and against Western Kentucky. UAB is going to be one of the better teams in the conference. I think Western Kentucky is going to be up there alongside FAU. I think FAU's season is not over with, and I think some people have tried to put that out there. It's not over with. But those two games are going to be really critical. FIU is a team that has had their moments this year. I think you look at the game against Bryant, they looked kind of good. But I just don't think they're there yet. They're obviously rebuilding. They've got a lot of young guys starting. But it's a rivalry game, and anything can happen in college football during a rivalry game. You know, a couple turnovers, a couple mistakes go your way. The other team's a little bit more excited, a little bit more rowdy because they're playing against a rival. And then Middle Tennessee is a team that has not looked good this year, but they were a team that gave FAU fits last year, and I want to see if last year's fits was due to Brent Dierman, their offensive coordinator, who's obviously now at FAU, or was Middle Tennessee's talent there? Because Middle Tennessee, I think, still has some talent on that team if they can put it all together. I'm also looking at the North Texas Rice game. So that's pretty much all their conference games I'm looking forward to, because I think a lot of these conference games can be challenging. North Texas is a team that if you allow them to win the way that they want to win, they can put you and they can win a lot of games. They showed that against UTEP in week one. Rice is a team that just got done beating Louisiana Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns. First of all, great college football name. But they just got done beating Louisiana, who had like a 15-game winning streak in non-conference games or in the regular season. I don't remember what the exact stat was, but Rice just got done beating them, and they're a team that could potentially cause some problems. They also play UTEP throughout the year, and UTEP is just a team, I think. They've really struggled this year. They just got done losing to New Mexico. They just have not looked as good as I think some people hyped them up to be. And look, me personally, I also hyped them up to be. I think when you look at what they returned a quarterback, they returned an edge rusher in Praise. I'm not going to even try to pronounce the last name because I'll just get it wrong. But that's a team that is that looked very good. But so far this year, they've not looked good. But again, what I want to do is I want to look at the UCF game and those other three games. Look at it through a quarter report. Think about it really as like a progress report, I guess, in high school and in middle school when you had like progress reports. And, you know, it was not the report card at the end of the year. We'll do a report card in November or December if they make a bowl game. But this is really like a progress report. This is through 4 games. What do we like? What don't we like? What are some things that they need to clean up? Where are going to be the weak points of this team? Can they hide those weak points? Like certain important questions to ask as we look forward to these final 8 games of the year. After week 8, we'll probably do this again. We'll look at a couple other games, or game 8 rather, not week 8, because FAU is 2 bye weeks. But after game 8, we'll look at it again as through another progress report, which will be the second progress report that needed at the end of the year. We'll have a report card. So I just want to do this because I want to see where they improve after eight games, because I think that, you know, if you break the season into segments, those first four games are sort of three or four games are sort of trying to figure out your team, what they're good at, what they're not good at. The second portion of that, which is really going to be game five through eight, is going to be where they're good and what it means, and have they improved off what they weren't good at. And then those final four games is really should be where you catch your stride, you put it all together. So with that being said, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come right back, talk about the UCF game, talk about those other three games. I just want to break some down some things. I've got a couple notes written down, and we're just going to kind of do this on the fly a little bit, because I think this is an important episode to do, because there has been a lot of discussion on Twitter about where FAU stands, and are they good, are they not good, and I don't have an answer to that. I wish I did. I wish I had a crystal ball as to where they'd finish at the end of the year, but I think this team has some talent. I also think this team has some problems, and we'll see if those two things can be figured out as we continue throughout the rest of the year. So I have the stats pulled up from the UCF game here on my computer screen. I'm looking at them right now. I'm looking at particularly the first half. I want to talk about the first half first. FAU at the end of the first half was trailing 16-14. They had 278 yards of total offense, a lot of that coming off the ground. Zuberry Mobley and Larry McCann were having terrific days on the ground. They were being able to really get their way in the first half. And FAU as a whole rushed for 192 yards on the ground, eight yards per carry, not touchdowns. They didn't have 8 yards or eight touchdowns in the first half, but they had eight yards per carry, and then through the air. And Kosi Perry was 9 of 17 with a touchdown and 86 yards. FAU was 4 of 7 on third downs, which is actually a better percentage than UCF, who were 5 and 6. The thing that UCF had, though, were that they were 2 and 2 on really short third down or fourth downs, like 4th and 1 and 4th and 2. FAU had ran 41 plays. UCF had ran 45. They had FAU had 15 minutes and 33 seconds of time possession. And I think more importantly was they had two turnovers. There were two fumbles in that first half by UCF, and there were possibilities or situations where FAU could have taken advantage. And I don't remember if they scored on either of those, but they just didn't really take advantage like you thought they would. But those were situations where they had chances to really pull ahead. And if you score on those drives, it's now potentially you have a lead, obviously. But then, you know, maybe it's a, you know, where they have to get a touchdown to get back in the game instead of a field goal. Or, you know, maybe you have two scores. I don't remember what it was, but those are sort of situations that you look at when you look at the end of a game and you look at where FAU could have won the game. You have to start with turnovers. If you get a situation to get free points, I consider turnover drives right after turnovers to be free points. That's a free extra drive that you got. That's a free drive that you got to try and score points to get ahead. Because if teams are just going to exchange points the entire game, then it's just going to be really whoever has the ball last. But if you can get a turnover and get potentially good field position, FAU did have one later in the game, which we'll talk about in the second half, then there's a situation that you can really put it all together. And I think that FAU had two really good chances to do so. They just couldn't really execute. They were not executing as highly on offense as possible. But to enter this first half down just 2 points with UCF constantly shooting themselves in the foot, you sort of were left a little bit encouraged going into the third quarter, going into the second half, because you felt like this was a game where they could have won. This was really, and I'm going to keep going back to this because it's so important, this was a game that FAU could have won. And I think everyone on FAU's team will tell you that. And I think every fan who watched that game will tell you that FAU had a really good chance of winning that game if they just execute it. And it's been the key point for Willie Taggart this week. And Kosi Perry mentioned similar today when we spoke to him ahead of one of FAU's practices, is that this was a game where if FAU executed, they would have won the game, but they just didn't execute. But in the first half, I thought the things that were really going right for them was that they were getting some explosive plays. I thought that in that first half, they were able to get some explosive plays to really try and potentially change the game. And FAU only finished the game with two pass plays over 15 yards, but they had a ton on the ground. They finished the game with over 10. What Stat Broadcast, which is the stat page that I'm using for this, categorizes as big plays, which is rushes of 10 yards plus or passes of 15 yards pass, plus. They only had two passes. Both of them came in the first quarter. They were both passes to Jamal Adrien. First one started on that first drive where Perry connected with Adrien for 19 yards. And the second one came on a 3rd and 8 later on in the first quarter when Perry connected with Jamal Adrien for 28 yards on a first down. Both those put FAU in good field position. Those were sort of plays that FAU have had throughout the years. I think Jamal Adrien, even going back to the Ohio game 2 weeks ago, he's been really good at sort of big-time plays in big-time situations, and I think that him and Kosi Perry are building a good connection in that sense. On the ground, some of their first half ones, Zuberi Mobley's touchdown is considered a big play because it was 15 yards on the ground. You had Zuberi Mobley also got 17. Larry McCammon had 2 on the first drive, actually, a 34-yard run, which came on, I think, their first play from scrimmage. And then they had one at the UCF 14-yard line where Larry McCammon got 15 yards down to UCF's 19-yard line, a first down. So overall, I think going into the second half, you felt good about where FAU was because even if they had not gotten those turnovers, they had sort of been able to build their offense. They've sort of been able to get into a groove. Their defense had been playing well. Their offense had been complementing. They had been playing complementary football to that point. And I felt that going into the second half, if FAU just kept that up, they could have really won that game. The one thing that's important to note is that FAU won the opening kickoff, and they did score on that. So last year we talked so much, last season, I don't want to harp on last season too much, but last season we talked so much about if FAU could start games fast. Well, they started today's game fast, or Saturday's game fast, sorry. But the second half is when it all just sort of collapsed for FAU. And there's one key point to talk about this second half with, because I think it's so important, is it played very similarly to the Ohio first half or second half. FAU entered halftime against Ohio up 17-13. There, I think their offense, when we looked at it, didn't look great. I think everyone will agree with you. Their offense against Ohio didn't look great in the first half, and there were a couple points where you were like, is this really going to be enough? Are you going to be able to score? But I felt that going in the second half, you get halftime to make adjustments. You come out, you can be firing in the second half. They just didn't come out firing. And I think the biggest part was that Ohio got the ball first, much like UCF did. And hear me out if these sort of sound familiar. Ohio on the first drive against FAU in their game. Again, remember, FAU now up 17-13. We just started the second half. Ohio gets the ball. They go 11 plays, 84 yards, and they score a touchdown to go up 3 points. Go up 20-13. On the next drive, FAU go 3 and out. They waste maybe like a minute and 40 off the clock. And then on the very next drive, literally the very next drive, and this is how quickly games can change, and we'll talk about this in the UCF game as well, Ohio goes 9 plays, 78 yards, they score a touchdown, and suddenly they're up 27-17. They're up 2 scores. Just like that. And they have wasted probably about 10 minutes off the clock at that point, because that first drive for Ohio went about 5 minutes. So go back to the UCF FAU game, because you're gonna see this and you're gonna go, wow, that's oddly similar. So UCF comes out to start the second half, and they start their second half, their first drive of the second half, at their own 27 yard line. UCF on that first drive goes 12 plays, 73 yards, takes 5 minutes, 28 seconds off the clock, and they score a touchdown. They're up 23-14. The next drive, FAU gained 3 yards on 3 plays, are forced to punt, and now suddenly they're still down 10. But here's where it changed, and this is where I want to talk about some similarities, because there may have been some different parts, but I think there are still some similarities to take from this. The very next drive, John Rhys-Plumlee throws the pick to Dwight Toombs, who returns it all the way down to the 1 yard line. Great play by Dwight Toombs after the interception to get down to the 1 yard line, by the way. I think he had a great game against UCF, and Coach Taggart on Monday called him a baller, and I think he had a really good game filling in sort of for TJ Young. But FAU now have the ball at the 1 yard line. They have got 3, maybe 4 plays to score a touchdown or from the 1 yard line. It's 1 yard. first play, Larry McCammon direct snap. It's a little bit of a high snap, and it falls, and he loses 3 yards. They're lucky to not turn the ball over there. Second and goal at the UCF 4. Larry McCammon goes 2 yards to the UCF 2. Then on the next play, Nkosi Perry pass incomplete to Tony Johnson, broken up by UCF cornerback Justin Hodges. So on three plays, FAU lose a yard, and they kick the ball on fourth down. They kick a field goal because the way that Willie Taggart explained it was they could go down 6, regroup as an offense, have a possibility to try and get some yards after that. But the kick is blocked, and on the very next drive, it just takes 2 minutes, 24 seconds. UCF drive down the field, 86 yards on 7 plays, they score a touchdown, and FAU's now down 16 points. That's how quickly a game can change. You know, you could play great for an entire game, but you could have 2 drives go against you, and against Ohio was the first 2 drives from scrimmage for Ohio in the second half, where they had an 11-play 84-yard drive, 9-play 78-yard drive, both of them ending in touchdowns. FAU suddenly down 10 points in that game. And then the UCF game, I think it was the first drive where UCF drive down the field. They score a touchdown. It's a long drive. Takes about 5.5 minutes off the clock. FAU gets the ball. They're forced to punt immediately. Then they get the interception. They're unable to score off that. Momentum completely changed after that. And UCF scored a touchdown on their next drive. FAU punted. Then UCF got a field goal. They did not punt the ball after that. Every one of their offensive drives after that blocked kick ended up in touchdowns, or in points, rather. They had a field goal in there as well. All of FAU's ended up in a punt. All of them. And they got maybe one first down after that. I'm looking at this now. No, they didn't get a first down, actually. Scratch that. I'm sorry. They did not get a first down on the continuous drives until that last drive of the game. So where do we sort of see this happening? This is how you lose games in football. In football, it's not always just about what you did good over the course. Everyone's going to tell you got to play 60 minutes, and this is why you have to play an entire game. You've got to play 4 quarters of complete football because there are situations where the game can just get away from you, and that's what it did for FAU. It happened against Ohio. It happened again today is that the game just sort of went away from them, and against Ohio, it was really, man, someone on the defense got to make a play, got to get some momentum back in this game, get some momentum back, who knows what happens. In the UCF game, I thought it was that the offense struggled. The offense struggled to get anything going. I want to give some credit to the defense because I think for the first about 2.5 quarters, they played really well. And the defense was still a little bit banged up. They did return a lot of starters and a lot of guys, but they still didn't have TJ Young. They still didn't have Evan Anderson. Smoke Mungin may have been a little bit banged up, but they still sort of played pretty well. They looked like a good football team in that game. And I think it was just a situation where if they could have put it all together, they could have really won that game early on. Anyways, didn't happen. You can look at here and you can talk about all the situations of how you could have won that game, where you would have won that game, whatever. They didn't win the game. But here's some things that stood out to me from that game. First of all, I thought the rushing attack was really good. Again, we talked about this a little bit early on. When they were able to run the ball, they ran the ball well. 188 yards on 30 carries. Larry McCammon, Zuberry Mobley both had really good games, 91 yards on 11 touches for Larry McCammon, 83 yards on 10 touches for Zuberry Mobley. He scored another touchdown. This team's offense, if they're going to win football games, I think is going to come down to what they're able to do on the ground. We can talk about Nkosi Perry and all these wide receivers and everything as much as we want. Brent Dearman mentioned it today, and I fully agree with him, that the identity of this football team is going to be based on their rushing attack. When they're able to run the football and get chunk plays on rushing the football, forces defenses to adjust, and you can't play as many too high safety sets, gives you a little bit more deep shots because teams have to account for your ability to run the football. So I'd like to see them against Purdue, and looking back forward to Purdue and some of these other conference games, I want them to be able to establish the run early. I don't want them to go away from it. I don't want them to go away from running the football because this team is going to be really damn good when they can run the football. It's going to be a team that can win a lot of games when they're able to run the football. And they've got really 2-3 guys, now that Johnny Ford is back, who are really electrifying playmakers. You've got 3 running backs who are playmakers. Johnny Ford is a guy who can be used in a lot of different positions. He only had 4 carries for -1 yards, didn't get many touches, and that's pretty much because Willie Taggart explained it after the game. Coach Taggart explained after the game that the reason why he didn't get a lot of touches was because they didn't know that he was ready to play until about Friday night. Again, they played Saturday night. So they only had really a day with him in the game. But I think that when you look at this team, this is on offense, this is going to be a team that's going to be able to run the football efficiently. And when they're able to run the football efficiently, they're going to be able to win a lot of games. The passing game, I don't think was great against UCF. Sorry. I think that the passing game could have been better against UCF. And Ghosty Perry finished the game 13-29, 180 yards, a touchdown, and according to ESPN, a quarterback rating, a QBR of 33.7. Just not a good game for him. And I think some of it was the wide receivers weren't getting as much separation when you're a quarterback and you're trying to find an open wide receiver and guys are just getting covered all day. And, you know, the offensive line held up for a lot of the game, but still, you don't want to sit there like a sitting duck for an entire game. You want to be able to get the ball out a little bit quickly. If he's got some speedsters, they just didn't get open. And today, Brent Dierman mentioned that it was not just they didn't get open. FAU's got to scheme them a little bit better. They got to scheme them open a little bit more. I think there's sort of a double-edged sword in those situations. Other thing about the offense. Again, this offensive line's good, guys. This offensive line's experience. This offensive line held up against UCF talent. And UCF has a talented defensive line. They're going to be arguably one of the biggest and strongest defensive lines that they play this year. They're going to be stronger and bigger than anyone they play in conference. That's good news for FAU. Your offensive line can win you a lot of games. You know, it sounds odd because they're not going to score the touchdowns. They're not going to make the big plays. But they're going to be the ones that allow those big plays to happen. FAU's got a lot of really talented offensive linemen. And I think Brendan Borner, Nick Weber. I thought both the tackles have looked really good this year. Chaz Neal and Brendan Borner, left tackle, right tackle, have looked really good this year. And there's a reason why they're still playing at such a high level. It's a reason why the rushing game is still working. I think the interior guys are playing really well in the run game. Something just to keep an eye on as the year continues, particularly is if they can run the football efficiently, that offense can still be really good. I'm not really too concerned about the offense after one bad game. My problem with the offense is that in the second half, they didn't really get much going. They didn't execute. They didn't score, obviously. They had 18 yards of total offense in the second half. 18. 18, because teams get 18 yards on a drive. It's just a bad second half for the offense. And the problem was that, you know, when FAU got down two scores, they needed their offense to step up. Their offense wasn't able to step up. So it's going to be interesting to see how they respond against a good Purdue defense and a good Purdue team. Defensively, but the defensive line played okay. I don't think they were great all the time, but I think they played well. Jacob Merrifield had a couple nice plays. And I think overall, the defensive line played pretty well. Though the front seven overall wasn't terrible. But the secondary struggled. According to Game on Paper, which is one of my favorite sites to sort of look through on a Sunday or even during the game, and it just sort of gives you some advanced stats and some sort of things to look at. FAU, or UCF's rather, expected points added per drop back or per pass, 0.15, which placed in the 61st percentile. On the ground, UCF was in the 7th percentile. Their yards per drop back, 9.29, 85th percentile. They were really good throwing the football, and John Reese Plumlee just looked really good throwing the football. He looked comfortable throwing the football. So I don't know if it's a major concern, but this secondary has now looked pretty poor in both of FAU's losses. So against Ohio, I thought that they got beat a lot by Curtis Work, their quarterback. And I think in today's game, or Saturday's game rather, they got beat a lot by John Reese Plumlee. John Reese Plumlee finished the game 25-36, 339 yards, a touchdown, interception, a quarterback rating according to ESPN of 87.7. See the contrast in those passing numbers? Now, I'm not going to say that John Reese Plumlee is a better quarterback than Ghosty Perry, because I think Ghosty Perry has been really good this year for FAU, and I don't think that is a big concern moving forward. But UCF looked really good with John Reese Plumlee throwing the football, and I think the reason why is because they gave him easy reads. It was not an offense that was complex, where you read the entire field, you read this guy, you go from A to B to C to D. For him, it was really you go A, maybe to B, run the football. He's a really good runner. We knew that going into the game. Everyone talked about how physical of a runner he is, how gifted of a runner he is. He plays baseball, he plays outfield, finished the game with 121 yards, two touchdowns on the ground on 20 carries. He's the leading rusher. So when you make an offense simple, and that's what they did, it allows a guy like John Reese Plumlee to put up a lot of good numbers through the passing game, because in college, you're just reading one guy. Maybe it's an RPO, maybe it's just a quick scheme to get a guy open. I think that's what they did a lot. My problem with FAU sort of fell in the sense that the first half of the game, and I haven't been able to really go back and watch the entire game yet, and I may do that later this week, but a first initial watch and some watching afterwards, I thought they played a lot of soft coverage in the first half, and that meant that they were playing their guys off coverage a lot, and I think that it sort of doesn't benefit FAU to do so because I don't think that their secondary is up to that kind of level. I don't think their secondary is up to the sort of level where they're able to play like that at a consistent rate. So when they do that and you're trying to play off coverage, it puts a lot of stress on your defensive backs to react. Puts a lot of stress on defensive backs to make plays. FAU, going into the year, we knew that their defensive backs were going to be probably the weak part of this defense. The fact that they had to replace two starters, Zion Gilbert, Deshaun Moss, out, through eligibility just expiring. Smoke Mungin was one of their starters, and we didn't know who was going to start next to him. Maybe it was Damon Hill, Michael Anton, who had a fumble recovery today, or in the game against UCF, and I think he actually drew the start as well. Maybe it was Justin McKithen. Maybe it was Jaden Williams ended up taking the nickel spot, but we didn't know who was going to start next to Smoke Mungin. And it was a very inexperienced group, and I think you're sort of trying to see, or you're sort of seeing that early on, is that this is a very inexperienced group that is still trying to find their groove. And as a result, when you put a lot of responsibility on them, and that's what Todd Orlando wants to do, is he wants to get aggressive. When you get aggressive and you're sending five, six guys to play, it puts a little more stress on your defensive backs to hold up because they don't have help. A lot of the times, if you're going to play cover one with one safety high, you don't have the help of, the second safety or another guy in your area to help you out. So UCF beat them on a lot of really short, quick routes. It's really similar to what Ohio did. Ohio beat them on a lot of out routes. It was like really 6-7 yard out routes. They were just sort of dinking and dunking all game, and they were able to win the game by doing so. So I want to see how the secondary sort of develops. If that secondary doesn't develop there, then you need to have an adjust in scheme. The secondary needs to play better, or you just need to adjust your scheme. And I think that, maybe it's a little bit more zone. Maybe it's keeping a safety high and not blitzing as much. But the problem is you also got to be able to win with four in that situation. If you're not going to send, the 5-6 guys and you're just going to send four, you got to be able to win like that, or a team's just going to run you down or run it down your throat. So I'm just a little bit concerned about what FAU is going to do there. I don't think the defense is like time to hit the panic button. Am I going to be sitting here over hitting the panic button over what we've seen? No. But I think you need to see improvements and you need to see growth from that area, or you're going to have major problems going into the latter half of the year. Also on defense, I think Eddie Williams had another great game. I think that when this team gets healthy on defense and get a couple games under their belts, this is like Jalen Joyner's first game. This was the first game back for a couple guys. When they get healthy and get a couple games under their belt, this defense can be really good. They've got a lot of talent on that defense. They just have to find a way to put it all together. When they're able to find a way to put it all together, this defense can be really, really good. However, they obviously just have not been good yet. And so I'm really interested to see how they can improve going into the second half of the year when they're not going to be playing as many teams quite like UCF with UCF speed. We looked at their schedule. We talked about their schedule. When you look at that schedule, there aren't as many teams that have UCF's talent on offense or UCF speed. When I look through this list, I see UTEP's quarterback, who's pretty damn good. North Texas has been able to really run the ball efficiently. Western Kentucky, obviously, we saw them last year, had a really good passing attack. Austin Reed just has his moments this year. FIU still doesn't have a quarterback. You look through this list and you're sort of like, man, there's not great quarterbacks on this list. You're not playing UTSA, who have arguably the best quarterback in the conference, and Frank Harris, who's going to be one of the better quarterbacks in Group of Five this year. But you still need to see a better play from the secondary. And I'm going to keep going back to this because I think the secondary is going to be where FAU can really win games this year. And if they can figure out the secondary, they can win games. One other point that I want to talk about. The second half problems, we talked about it earlier. The problems, particularly when it relates to trying to win in the second half. You need to figure out a way to not allow many long drives in the second half. They can be killers for defenses. They can be, killers for offenses because you're not going to get into a momentum early on. If you get a set three and out afterwards, you just kill momentum. Keeps the defense out there really early on. So I just want to see them play a little bit better coming out of the first half. But when they're able to do that, I think that this team can be really dang good. One other thing, third downs was a problem against UCF. And it was sort of a problem against Ohio as well. I think Ohio was able to capitalize on a couple of third downs, but UCF were able to do it at such a high rate. They finished the game 12 of 18 on third downs. That you had no problems getting them to third down. They just couldn't stop them when they got to third down. You know, it's something to get them to third down and fourth down, but you got to still stop them on those plays. You can't just let them score on those plays or get first downs on those plays. And it's interesting because in the first half, UCF wasn't good or wasn't great on third down. They were, if I can find this real quick, I'm sorry, I'm not really all prepared, but 56% on third downs was UCF in the first half. Second half, 7 of 9 for comparison. FAU, 1 of 16. I went back to the Ohio game while I was talking, so I'm sure you may have heard the mouse clicking in the background. I'm sure the microphone picked that up, but Ohio went 5 of 12 on third downs. They were 0 for 0 on fourth downs, sorry. And I don't remember exactly what the success was. I'm sorry, I don't remember particularly, like, were they really short third downs, but I remember when Ohio could sort of, and this is just sort of going off anecdotal evidence, when FAU or when Ohio was able to get to like third and short, third and intermediate, like third and five to lower, they were able to get first downs. And those are situations where you got to be able to get a team off the field. You get a team off the field on third down, it brings a big boost to your defense. It can help you get back in a game or maintain a game. And if FAU can figure that out, again, we're going to keep going back to this because it's so important. FAU's got more talent than most of these teams in Conference USA. They've got to figure out a way to put it all together and win games. If they can figure out a way to put it all together and win games, it's going to be a really good football team. It's going to be a team that, you know, at the end of November is competing for conference championships, not just competing for the 6-6 bowl game. If they can put it all together and they've got time to do it, they've got, they have a sort of unique schedule split up here, if I remember correctly. Yes, they have a September 24th game against Purdue, October 1st game against North Texas. Then they have a break. They have a bye week in between for an October 15th game against Rice. I think they have another bye week in here somewhere. Yes, between UAB and FIU, and then three games to end the year. So I sit here because, you know, was it tough to lose to UCF? Absolutely. Was it tough to lose the way you did in the sense that you didn't get explosive plays in the second half? You couldn't play well in the second half. Your defense let up in the second half. The missed field goal, again, just a momentum killer. It took the wins, took the sail, the wins out the sail, is that the phrase from FAU's offense. But I still think there are encouraging things if we look towards the final end of the season. We look towards these last six games, and it's a unique setup for FAU because they play 5 road games. They have just three home games remaining: Rice, UAB, Western Kentucky. They've struggled on the road under Willie Taggart. They have like one real, I think they have two road wins this year or under Willie Taggart, if I remember the statistic correctly from the Ohio game. FIU in 2020, and then last year they beat Charlotte on the road. If they can figure out how to win on the road, this is going to be a winnable schedule. It's going to be games that they can win, and they can win effectively. And I'd like to see FAU, you know, I don't think you have to beat Purdue. And I think Purdue's now favored by like 18 points or something. I don't remember. But do I think that FAU can beat Purdue? And we'll go into Purdue a little bit later in the year or in the week, probably Thursday, maybe Friday. But do I think that FAU can beat Purdue? Yes. Do I think they will? Nah, who knows? I got to look a little bit more into Purdue and see where they're good at, where FAU can attack, and we'll obviously have that article out probably Saturday morning like we have every other week. But I want to see them come out and play a complete game. If you don't win the game, you don't win the game. But, you know, you can take something out of playing a complete game because FAU hasn't done that yet. And if FAU can play a complete game this week, it's going to be really encouraging because FAU just have not played a complete game this year outside of the two wins. Even in those losses, they're just not complete games. And if you play a complete game, I think that you can take something out of it still. And you can, you know, be encouraged by the fact that you played that complete game. And coaches are going to tell you they don't want moral victories, but I think you can still look at moral victories as fans and as media members to go, well, you know, they played well in these games, and I'm going to probably talk about this later throughout the year. Process over results. The process, if the process is good, the results will eventually come. You know, would you rather, it's like, I guess the idea of like, would you rather win ugly or lose pretty? I don't really agree with that term. You know, obviously you want to win, But I think process still matters. You got to look at process. And if you look at the first half process against FAU or against UCF and Ohio, you're kind of encouraged. Second half, they struggle in both games. We'll see what Todd Orlando has to say tomorrow. And then I think we'll sort of see how they respond against UCF or Purdue. This team has a lot of veterans who can really help sort of ease the transition, ease these losses, make them a little bit easier. With that being said, guys, thank you for listening. I'm sure this was all over the place because I sort of recorded this a little bit raw. I didn't want to go in with a whole bunch of numbers and just regurgitate information at you, but I wanted to sort of tell you guys that it's not, the sky's not falling. Rome's not burning. Pompeii's not burning, whatever the term is. I don't actually remember what the term is. The sky's not falling. They still have 8 games left in the year. They've got 7 conference games left. They got plenty of time to turn this around if they can just get consistent. And maybe it's a little easier said than done. You know, it's obviously easy to sit here and go, if they get consistent, they'll win a lot of games. But they can get consistent. They can be a good football team. They can make it to the conference championship game. They can win 8 games, 9 games. We could be talking about a completely different team at the end of the year. So that'll do it for this week's episode. We'll have another episode later this week, probably Thursday or Friday, like I mentioned earlier. Sort of previewing Purdue, looking at some things that stood out to me when watching them, things that I think FAU can attack. And then obviously near the end of the week, we'll also have another article on Purdue, the how FAU can win this game against Purdue. With that being said, guys, appreciate you for listening to the Owls 24/7 podcast. Again, follow the podcast on Twitter at Owls247, Owls247.com. Follow myself on Twitter at TheKevinFielder. See you guys later this week. Thank you guys for listening, and have a great rest of your day.